Then I actually get straight to you.
You look a bit pale, actually.
Okay.
Hi, babe.
No problem. I'll see you shortly.
हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay. Now, thus after describing the true nature of the individual spirit souls, the author of the sutras proceeds to describe the renunciation of all unwanted things. He also describes the means to obtain the highest golden life. He says, the conscious spirit souls possess thinking and loving, for these two are part of their nature. Commentary. Thinking creates knowledge, therefore knowledge is part of the soul's nature. Loving creates bliss, therefore bliss is part of the soul's nature. These are parts of the soul's nature, right? It means you have sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. So your sambandha is your thinking aspect, your prayojana is your loving aspect, right? Like that. So that's the two situations. Then these are connected through action. Right? Activity. In the Shruti Shastra it is said, eternity, knowledge, and bliss are part of the soul's nature. In the Vedanta Sutra 4.1.3 it is said, the wise know and teach the science of the soul. Oh, okay, so here they're using knowledge in the position of Abhideya, because that which is, you know, then performed. Because you'll have knowledge, you'll gain knowledge, and then that knowledge will be used to perform action. So then before we've already established their existence as eternal, so that's there. But now having made their existence as separate for the Lord at the same time non-different, now then the question is coming up, you know, how they'll progress in that. So then that's through the knowledge and the, how do you say, and affection, right? So sambandha has been established, now abhideya and prayojana. In the Vedanta Sutra 4.1.3 it is said, the wise know and teach the science of the soul. In Srimad Bhagavatam 7.7.19, Sri Prahlad declares, quote, Atma refers to the Supreme Lord or the living entities. Both of them are spiritual, free from birth and death, free from deterioration, and free from material contamination. They are individual, they are knowers of the external body, and they are the foundation or shelter of everything. They are free from material change. They are self-illuminated. They are the cause of all causes. And they are all-pervading. They have nothing to do with the material body, and therefore they are always uncovered. Right? So here you're bringing about, Atma refers to both the soul and the Lord, and all these qualities are there. They're free, means they're not contaminated, nothing is there. And they're also, how do you say, cause of all causes, all-pervading. But here is then the Lord himself, he is all-pervading. The jivas, they, not the individual soul is all-pervading, but jivas are all-pervading. There's so many jivas. And they are the cause of everything. Means that he is, means the cause of, means how the material world goes on or the spiritual world goes on is because of the jivas' affection for the Lord or ignoring that. Right? So that's the cause of this material world. At the same time as the Lord is the cause, because he's the one that creates everything and creates the facility in which the living entities can therefore then be the cause of its continuance. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the Lord creates the facilities, so therefore he's the cause. Right? And the living entity, the cause of all causes. Right? It means that The living entities are doing things, but what makes that actually function is the Lord's potencies, right? So at the same time as that, we see everything going on in this nature, but it's going on because of the living entity's desire. Does that make sense? So there's a cause, and then behind that, then there's the cause of that cause. So both the living entities and the Lords are the cause of all causes, right? Of them, of course, the Supreme Lord is the supreme cause of all causes, and the Jiva is minute cause of all causes. Does this make sense? They have nothing to do with the material body, and therefore they are always uncovered. So it's an illusion that the living entity thinks he's covered. It's not that the soul is actually covered. The soul can be covered. His consciousness may be covered, but the soul is never covered. So he allows himself to come under the influence of Maya. So that's the whole point. It's that simple. One simply has to give that up, and one is on the liberated platform. Because technically one already is. You know what I'm saying? The person is awake, but because of having a nightmare, he still thinks he's asleep. But he's not, he's awake. Doesn't make sense. So all it is he has to recognize he's awake, and he's already in that position. So it's not you have to become liberated. You're already liberated. It's just a matter you have to recognize it. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
Why is that? If even though we have recognized that, still we feel the conditioning.
We've recognized that we still feel the conditioning because it's only in knowledge. We're not accepting it as value, right? In realization, then it has that full effect. Knowledge starts the effect, starts the process, but it's not until realization that then you act upon that, because realization means what your values are. Knowledge, you can have so much knowledge, right, like that, but it doesn't mean that that's how you act. You know, like a person who's sick knows if he eats some, you know, fried food, he'll get more sick, but he still eats it anyway because it tastes nice. So that's knowledge, right? Realization is they don't eat it because it'll make them more sick, so they don't do that. They don't have a need, right? So therefore the living entity falsely thinks that. So, but this is actually his position. You know? Does that make sense? In the Vishnu Purana, Sri Prahlad declares, "Fools fall in love with what the material senses see. I am not like them. O Supreme Lord, I have fallen in love with you. I always think of you. I pray that you will never leave my heart." Right, so fools fall in love with what the material senses see. What you see, then we have an idea that that is something to love. That's not what we're loving, right? It's something beyond that, right? The soul is there, the Lord's potencies are there. So therefore, it's again the Lord and the living entities. We're dealing with Atman. But the living entity thinks those qualities that are there in what he sees is actually comes from the objects that see. But it's actually coming from the living entities and the Lord's potencies that are there. Does it make sense? In Bhagavad Gita 2.24, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, "The individual soul is unbreakable and insoluble, and can be neither burnt nor dried. He is everlasting, all-pervading, unchangeable, immovable, and eternally the same." So there's nothing that can actually be done to the living entity. It's just what he can do to himself, right? But otherwise, nothing else can do anything to you. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.41-42, Vasudeva Maharaj says, "Having experienced a situation, by seeing or hearing about it, one contemplates and speculates about the situation. And thus one surrenders to it, not considering his present body. Similarly, by mental adjustments, one dreams at night of living under different circumstances, in different bodies, and forgets his actual position. Under the same process, one gives up his present body and accepts another, tata dehantara prapti. At the time of death, according to the thinking, feeling, and willing of the mind, which is involved in fruitive activities, one receives a particular body. In other words, the body develops according to the activities of the mind. Changes of body are due to the flickering of the mind, for otherwise the soul could remain in its original spiritual body. So, how you say? So here he's bringing out how to give up things and how to, how you say? How to attain the highest goal. So we see here is then the principles that are being repeated here are about how the living entity identifies with the material creation, right? Because of that identity, then nothing can be done properly, right? He becomes entangled in this material existence. So it's actually that simple, right? All the complexities are there simply because we are very attached to our conditioning, right? So it must be dealt with from so many different angles, like that. So this is a This is a problem because Okay, he's making the point is just like we were discussing before is that the living entity sees something or hears about something. And that experience then he speculates on. And is speculating on that, he's doing that without consideration of his own body. You know, I'll do this, I'll do that, I can get this and that. But it's not necessarily that one can or one has the qualification. Right? So in the same way is that then dream state, you know, you see so many things in the day and then at night you dream about these and it may have nothing to do with your actual position. Right? So in the same way as the next body is created because of the same state, whatever the body, mind, and words, however that is, the thinking, feeling, and willing of the mind, whatever that is, what your identity is, what it is that you want, and therefore what actions you're willing to perform, that then gives you a next body. Right? So the whole thing has come about because of the mind. The mind, we allow the mind to enter the sense objects and there, and we identify with those sense objects. Those sense objects enter the mind. Right? That's then what keeps us in material existence. That's what prolongs it. That's what gives birth after birth. You change that, like Prahlad Maharaj said here. He says that the fools fall in love with what they see. He says, but I always think of you and pray that you will never leave my heart. So that is how the material is given up and the spiritual is accepted. Does that make sense? It's what the mind values is where you're going to go. You want Krishna consciousness, that's the way it goes. You don't want Krishna consciousness, it'll remain whatever the way it is and change according to the modes. So the desire to develop love for Krishna, that's actually the essential principle. Right? It's not all the other things. It's not the mechanics of the other things. It's that desire. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. Is that whatever it is that you're contemplating, right? I think, I'm not even sure that this, yeah, this stuff, by this, these verses by Vasudev, these are the ones that we were discussing in the Vedic psychology. And it's the same verses. Right. So the whole idea is that the it all comes back to the mind, right? Because sometimes it says that there's the nine elements, right? And then Brahma Samhita, it says in the creation there's nine elements. It doesn't say 24, it says nine. How does it get away with nine? Right? Hmm? Yes, but what's condensed into what? So all the senses, sense objects, and the tanmatras are all condensed into the mind. Right? So Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea. If you have the mind, then automatically you're dealing with 16 things. Right? So that's the idea, is that if you catch the mind and connect that to Krishna, pull it out of Maya, then you're Krishna conscious. You don't leave it in Maya, then you're an illusion. So it's all about the mind, what it accepts and rejects. So you accept Krishna, reject Maya. Right? So all these things where we're working to rationalize our position and it's okay and we'll do this and that, but then that's what? That's all about the externals, which is what you see, which is what your mind is attached to. So how beneficial is that? You understand? So that's why in the Vedic system is that it's not a matter of rationalization, it's a matter of recognizing, yes, this is my conditioned nature. And then connecting that to the Lord. So that very thing that takes you away is connected, because that's the whole point. You connect it to Maya, you stay in Maya. You connect to Krishna, you go to Krishna. So therefore, that aspects of Maya that take you away from Krishna and make you forget, you connect that to Krishna. Okay? Then that's real. So the difficulty is we want to work with an illusory system. Because why? It's good for our ego. Isn't it? Because otherwise we say, oh, I'm just being all this Vedic stuff, you know, the fanatic. We have to be practical. You know, household, you have to make money, you have to have facility. You know, we don't have all that much time. So, you know, we have to be practical. So now let us say we are being really real. So then we're saying, okay, so that means you're attached to your house, you're attached to your family, you're attached to the facilities that you can have this family, your money, your social prestige, your position, and everything like that. You're attached to the, you know, the various emotional and sensual interactions that you have with this family, right? Now, what would that person then say? The person who said the first statement, having now said the actual Vedic statement, what would they say? You know, no. So where is the reality? It's illusion. That's all. Up front illusion. Because illusion is, yes, I am attached, and I'm going to do something about it. And illusion is, no, I'm not attached, I'm just being real, I'm just being practical. Means I'm attached, but I'm not about to actually deal with it, other than how I want to deal with it, and I'm not about to recognize it so that I can actually remove it and become Krishna conscious. I'm just going to say, I'm doing all these externals of Krishna consciousness and like that, and therefore, you know, don't be fanatic and get into other things. So what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with a very strong false ego. So what does that mean? The very strong identification with one's conditioned nature. And that's what holds back. It's not something else. It's not Yudhishthira Maharaj. Does he have a problem? Is he not Krishna conscious? How much facility does Yudhishthira Maharaj have? Right? Does he have a little apartment, you know, over in the Grihastha area? Like that? Does he have, okay, maybe he has a nice house. Or, you know, maybe he has, you know, a big, you know, fancy building in New York and he lives in the penthouse. Right? Maybe he has a few houses all over. One in New York, one in LA, one in London, you know, one in, what's that place? Ibiza? Like that, one in the Bahamas, you know, like that, one in Greece, okay, and he has a flat here in Mayapur, okay, so then, like that, is it like that? Or is it that he's the emperor of the world and has more facility than anybody in the world has ever thought of owning? In fact, the demigods are amazed at what he has, right? He has wife, he has kids, he has brothers. Right? He's a Kshatriya, he's involved in all kinds of practical things of managing the world. But does he allow that and get in the way? Does he rationalize it and say, well, hey, I'm running the world, so, you know, give me a break, don't be fanatic. No, never. So this is truth. This is reality. Not all this other nonsense that people profess. All that is just a cover for their attachments and their false ego. That's all. And saying this, it would make many people upset because of the self-same things. They don't want it to be, because we know renunciation is important, therefore if it's not looking renounced, it reduces my sense of prestige. Right? Isn't it? So I may be, you know, older devotee, senior devotee, but I'm more attached than some of the newer devotees. So therefore, you know, from that angle, then I have to be senior. But so therefore, we have to take it out of that kind of a realm and put it into a modern context, because in a modern context, this is pretty reserved. And so I'm doing pretty good. You understand? So all of this is all about what? Is it actually the money? Is it actually the family? Is it the sense gratification? No, it's all about the mind. That's all. It's just the mind. So it's being pointed out here is that you bring this mind in line with Krishna. It doesn't matter what it is. That's the thing. They're saying the Vedas is very narrow. The Vedas is way beyond. I mean, it's a broadness that the modern can't even comprehend. Here it's just a matter of, we make no distinction, and that way then everybody's equal. But the Vedas is, we make distinction, and we have no problem with it. You make a distinction, and everybody therefore in that distinct category has their own rights and needs by which they can pursue their life. And everybody can cooperate together because all these things are created by God, so it's harmonious. You don't have anywhere near that in the modern. Right? There'll be aspects of it here and there. But what the Vedas have to offer, that's being given by the Acharyas, that's so far beyond anything the material world's ever offered and ever will offer. But people are unwilling to accept it. Why? Because then it means you have to surrender. Right? Then it means you have to surrender. So then what we're saying is that, okay, what's the deal? It doesn't matter. I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, it's America, it's just a mundane culture. And India, it's a mundane culture. So why is, you know, India superior over America? It's just another country. Right? But that means, by saying that my dealing with American culture is out of my own attachments. And if I dealt with the Vedic, I would simply try to fulfill my own mundane needs, separate from Krishna. So therefore, technically, what's the difference? Technically, there is no difference. One's a little more pious, one's a little less pious, but it's still just as mundane. Does it make sense? That's the meaning of that kind of statement, that logic. Right? The real point is, one is superior to the other. If I'm actually trying to get myself out of material contamination by engaging the material in the Lord's service, then the Vedic is more direct, because coming from the Lord, coming from Shastra, it's not contradictory to the concept of a harmonious, you know, individual and social system in which everybody can get what they need and become God conscious. Right? So that's superior over a, you know, speculative system that's developed due to a particular class of persons in a particular part of the world. Right? It's more universal. So it's definitely superior. But if I'm simply going to use it to satisfy my own sensual and social and emotional needs like that, then in that way, it doesn't really matter. The one is, of course, better. It's more pious. It'll get you a better result. But nowadays, no one even knows these results exist. So they're not even thinking like that. People don't even know what trust and good relationships are. So they don't know they're available. So even you can talk about it all day. The Vedas will give you that. No one believes it. No one understands it. They don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? That's all. It's just like you come in and start talking quantum physics or something. No one knows what you're talking about. So in the same way, you talk about how the Vedic culture will give you much better material results than the modern culture. They don't even know what those results are. You know what I'm saying? They have no idea. So this is a difficulty. So we see here, according to this, it simply comes down to the mind. Right? So because the mind, depending on what it is, your identity, your thinking, your attraction, then it's going to put you in the spiritual world or in the material world. It's that simple. It's not something else. Right? All these other things are symptoms, but they're not actually the thing. He's a good brahmachari. That's a symptom. It's not what makes him go back to Godhead. Right? He's a good grihastha. That's a symptom. It's not what makes him go back to Godhead. You understand? So that's the thing. Somebody is foolish, falls in love with what he sees with the material senses. Right? So even then, the engagement of our conditioned nature in the Lord's service, it's the engagement that's of value, not what's being engaged. I have a cauliflower. I'm using it for Krishna. Is the cauliflower important? Is that what's generating the bhakti? The cauliflower generates devotional service. No. Does that make sense? So that means if it's not, then nothing else. Your management's not, your money's, your charity's, none of that is generating. You know what I'm saying? It's the devotion in which it's being performed. That's what's generating, because bhakti gives bhakti. Nothing mundane can give it. This is the mistake, to take the external. Means the external means you need a form to as a medium for whatever you're carrying. You know what I'm saying? But let's say I have a jug, and I have some juice in that jug, and I pour some for you, drink it. This is nice juice. And then what would be the conclusion? Wow, that's a really great jug. Makes fabulous juice. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that it's immediate. You need it. Otherwise, how do I get the juice? Where? How do I make the juice? How do I keep it? How do I serve it? Right? How do I drink it? It requires a pot. But is it the pot that's the real thing? That's the point. So we require some form. And so we use whatever is our conditioned nature in the Lord's service. But what we're using is only of value as long as it's connected to devotional service. If it's not, you know what I'm saying? It changes. The same pot, I can put something else in. You know, I could put Corella juice in it. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that it's the devotion that makes it. And so the devotion means the mind is, you know, making that attempt to be absorbed, is absorbed or making the attempt to be absorbed in the Lord. They're trying to do it for the Lord. That's what makes it useful. Right? So that's why then body, mind, and words, right, are then engaged in the Lord's service. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So all the aspects of thinking, feeling, willing become engaged. Otherwise, well, what's the process doing? Some mechanics is what's making it work? You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's the consciousness that's making it work. Right? Right. In the Katha Upanishad, 2.3.10 and 2.3.6, it is said, quote, "When the five senses are peaceful, and when the mind and intelligence do not strive for material things, one obtains the highest goal of life. This the wise say. In the course of life, the senses rise and again they set. Aware that he, the soul, is different from the senses, a wise person does not grieve." right? In other words, one is not, means whatever it is one considers, the conditioned nature, then one is not that. It gets better, it gets worse, it comes, it goes, like that. So one who therefore does not strive for material things. That doesn't mean one doesn't work with material things, right? In other words, how it's worded, it can start off with, you know, I don't deal with anything. Okay, I've identified that, you know, those rocks over there, material, these rocks are Krishna's rocks, so they're spiritual. So I deal with these rocks, I stay away from those rocks. You understand? But the point is why am I dealing with rocks? Is it just to please Krishna? Or is there an attachment to gardening? Right? You know what I'm saying? What is the cause like that? So the point is there's an overlap here. But whatever one's position of one can always make this distinction between striving for spiritual and giving up material. So depending upon your perception of material, then that is then avoided. You know what I'm saying? So if you just see it that the material is my conception of it, the material means I see it not in connection with Krishna, and spiritual means I see it in connection with Krishna, then you deal with whatever you're dealing with in connection with Krishna. Right? So therefore, what is appropriate for you in the situation, right, the relationship, then those elements you engage in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? Right? So they're engaged. It's done. So, but if not, then by the gross, you have affection for those things that you see. So those things that you see that you have affection for are not that you can, by its form, connect to Krishna. That's the material and spiritual you're using. Does that make sense? So it's either the form of it or the mentality. Right? And so if you can, and once one's adjusted with those two, then you can use both. Right? In the beginning it's the form, you don't see anything else. The next stage is then you see the mentality, you have a tendency to not deal with the forms. Right? But then the proper stage is that you can deal with whatever form is necessary to deal with in connection with Krishna. Does that make sense? You had a question there. No? Yes.
What do you mean that in the beginning you deal with the form and then you deal with the mentality? What's that stage? What's the difference?
Means because we're used to just seeing everything, means what we see with the senses is what we're dealing with. So therefore we make a distinction between what's favorable and not favorable simply by what's observable. You know what I'm saying? My possessions, oh, that's all Maya, right? So we give all those up, and then, you know, that we move to the temple and then take part there, and, you know, we only wear this or only do this or that. So that's the beginning. The next stage, as you see, is actually, it's, you know, even if I'm in the temple, I can still think this is my temple, you know, from the mundane platform, you know, like that. This is my bowl, you know, like that. It's not that it's not your quota, but the identity is my bowl, rather than this is what Krishna has given me to use in his service. You know what I'm saying? So that, therefore, the next stage you have to come to is seeing those things in connection with Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So in that, then doing that, that tendency is the one is that one will now, one, you don't use the forms because, yeah. Okay? Like that. So then the natural thing is then get to the stage where one can use whatever form is necessary for your conditioned nature. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise it's okay. The brahmachari, the guy's outside, whatever he's doing, not exactly a brahmachari, but whatever. Then he joins Krishna consciousness, gives up all the maya, moves into the temple. And he's been there, he's getting trained, he's getting situated nicely, but there's all these varieties of attachment from his previous samskar, so it's necessary that he would be better situated as married. But because he has rejected these forms, then he can't accept marriage. Right? So he goes on for years like this until, you know, it's you know, point of freak out. Right? And then in that point, then he gets married. But that's already a bit late. You know what I'm saying? It's like you get out in the weather, you get a little bit of a sniffle. So you take your cold medicine. But you don't take the cold medicine because it's Maya. So only when you have double pneumonia, then you decide, okay, I'll take the cold medicine. You know what I'm saying? But the problem is for that much need, you don't have the actual qualities, you know, the capacity to work with it. Because it's been rejected. So now what you're working with is something that in your own mind is something to be rejected. And therefore, then you have to rationalize it. Oh, well, everybody, they're just, you know, pretending, those guys. Oh, we know them, you know, like that, you know. You understand? So because in their own mind, it's bad. Does that make sense? So so the problem is the thing, you know, either is not useful at the particular time, place, and circumstance, or in general is not useful in Krishna service. That's what makes it good or bad. So if it's useful, it's good. Right? Just like on our grains inherently bad. No, but you don't use them on a codicy. So they're not usable on a codicy for the, you know, in your service to the Lord. You understand? So it depends on the situation. If as a brahmachari, then he's not involved in household life. In household life, he's not behaving as you know, as the temple brahmachari. So it's whatever is used, that's the whole point. It's not the externals. The external is where you start, because that's all we know. We only have love for what we see. You know what I'm saying? So we start with what we see. But it has to move to the point is that we actually, it's a matter of what's useful. It's not a matter of what we see, that's why we work with it. It's a matter of what is useful to use for Krishna. Therefore, we use what we see in Krishna's service. Right? That's the meaning of Sarva Dharma and Parityaja. It's not that you give up everything and do nothing. It's a matter of you're not doing it because that is your general religion, you're doing it because it's pleasing to Krishna. Right? Mam ekam sharanam. You surrender to Krishna. I want to serve Krishna. What facilities are available? In this situation, what would be the appropriate items to offer to Krishna? As opposed to, I have this conditioned nature, so therefore I use this conditioning in Krishna's service. That's dharma. Understand? But this, what Krishna, this Sanatan Dharma, then is I engage myself in Krishna's service. And therefore I use whatever is there. Yudhishthira is going to engage in Krishna's service. But since he's in the position of a king, he engages that in Krishna's service. It's not that he's a king, therefore he engages, you know, kingliness in Krishna's service. You understand the difference? Yeah, he's not identified. See, that's the thing. You don't have to identify it to do the duties. This is a great mistake of the modern culture. You know, you are the crown, be the crown. All these different things, you know. You identify it, you like that, it's you, it's that, the law of attraction, and all these things. But the point is it's not you. It's a matter of what is useful in Krishna's service. That you use. Does that make sense? These other things are simply forms to engage. You know what I'm saying? This principle will be there. You have to know the field. You have to be interested to work with the field. You have to then, you know, understand the result you're going to get and want to get that result. Then you'll make the endeavor. So all those rules of, you know, that these modern management apply. But why are they working? How are you going to use them in Krishna's service? Just to get it, and then, okay, you get the result for Krishna. That's, it works, but it's very simple, very external. But the point is those are functioning because there's different aspects of the process, of the Lord. Right? Krishna says he is the items of the sacrifice. Right? He is the people doing the sacrifice. He is the ritual of the sacrifice. He's the result of the sacrifice. So the sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana of the sacrifice is Krishna. So therefore each one is Krishna, because Krishna is everything. So there's no contradiction. So in that scene, then it works nicely. Otherwise, then you'll get your result, but it doesn't mean that that result will make you any happier or make you any Krishna conscious. Right? It depends upon your devotion. It depends upon your consciousness. You know what I'm saying? You've done it for Krishna, so therefore you get some benefit, as long as no offense was committed to other devotees or something. You'll get some benefit, but if you're conscious of it, you're doing it to please Krishna, how much more benefit you get? You know what I'm saying? The person goes into the kitchen, he's thinking about how somebody's, you know, dealt with it improperly. So, you know, he's all upset and annoyed, and he does the whole time cooking, never once thinks of Krishna. But he's in the kitchen cooking for Krishna's offering. And he's willing to put in that time and effort. And he uses his skills, so he will get spiritual benefit. But how much more benefit he would get if he was thinking of Krishna and doing this for Krishna, and this would be pleasing to Krishna. And therefore using his skills to his best of his ability. Does that make sense? At the same time, Lord Chaitanya says an angry cook, you know, cooks very nicely. But here, the cook was angry at Lord Chaitanya. So. Yes?
So if someone is hung up on the forms, what's the word for
them? What's, if they're hung up on the forms?
Yeah.
You mean like on a glider or on a gallow or... trying to enjoy it, or they've got a problem. if they're hung up on the forms, what to do? It doesn't matter. Means this is the point. We're saying all these things so a distinction is made, because there's intelligence. He's saying that the whole point of this is that there's thinking and loving. So we have to understand actually what we're dealing with, so that we can make a distinction of what we're loving. Because thinking, we're going to think about whatever it is that we perceive with the senses. So if we're seeing material, we'll think material. We're seeing spiritual, we'll think material. We'll think spiritual. Right? So if we're seeing material and thinking material, we're going to love material. We see spiritual, we think spiritual, we'll love spiritual. Right? So the whole idea is that whatever it is that you're absorbed in, that doesn't matter. That just has to be taken and connected to the Lord. That's all. You know, so the point is it's not that one has to give up. One has to engage. If it's not engageable, then it's given up. Does that make sense? But if it's engageable, and you have a need to work in that field, you have an attachment, why would you give it up? Because it's engageable in Krishna's service. If it's not engageable, then why would you deal with it? Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea. So it's not a problem. Whatever position one's in, one can take that and connect it to Krishna. But one must know it's not that the externals is what makes it successful. Right? It's the endeavor to engage your nature, you know, your body, mind, and words in Krishna's service that's pleasing. It's not the medium. You know what I'm saying? That you're considering the medium in connection with Krishna, then that expands it. But it's still its connection to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? In other words, I want to eat, so I'm going to cook something. You know, so, you know, I'm going to cook for myself, but I'll offer it to Krishna first. So that you're willing to give the result of your endeavor. Then that's the devotional aspect. If it's a matter of I'm cooking for Krishna, then it's the whole process. You know what I'm saying? So whatever is the position, it doesn't matter. Or if it's just I want to please Krishna, so it's available as a service to cook for him, I'll do the cooking. You know what I'm saying? All the devotees are hungry, therefore let's cook for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of stages of the same thing. So the form remains. Right? So its usefulness is what it's there. So the more you can add just the result or the whole process or just your whole surrender. So you can go through these levels, but the form stays the same. So the form isn't the problem. The problem is our attachment to things that are not connected to Krishna. So if there are certain things we're attached to, that by working with them, that we will not be able to think of Krishna, then yes, we have to give them up. Until such time as we can work with them. Right? So just like you take a brahmachari, it means who needs to get married at some point. Now, in the beginning of his training, you have to take him out of the environment of the grihastha ashram. Because otherwise he will not be able to discriminate and be able to focus on his brahmachari training. Right? But once he's trained, then he can work in the grihastha environment. Right? Does that make sense? So in the same way as in the beginning, we may have to separate ourselves from all these, so many things. But as we mature, then those things, if they're favorable, we can engage them in Krishna's service. Right? Because the main point is favorable. It has to be favorable to Krishna, not just, you know, we like. Right? It shouldn't be speculative. If it is a matter of it's just because we like, then it should be recognized for that. If we don't recognize, then it's an illusion. If we're just saying, oh no, it's all for Krishna, but it's not all for Krishna. Right? The person took up the job as the temple president because he has a place to stay, there's insurance, they get a car, he gets a stipend. That's why he took it up. He wants to do something in Krishna consciousness, but he needs money, he needs facilities, a married man. That's why he took it up. Since he's taken it up, do it nicely for Krishna. He'll get purified. Even if he did it for the insurance. So what? But he's getting purified. Then it'll come to the point where he's doing it just to please Krishna. Certain insurance, no insurance. Krishna is the real insurance. You know? But that'll only happen if you're honest. You know what I'm saying? So does that work? Okay. So that's why it's always this achinta beta beta tattva. You know? It's like it's useful in Krishna's service, but if it's not used, it's maya. The same thing can work both ways. In other words, if it's used for Krishna, gives you devotion. Right? It's used, you understand the metaphysics of it, you know, and how it's the Krishna's qualities and all that that you're attracted to and all that. By dealing with it, it gives you liberation. And by just being attracted to the particular, item and working with it, you develop material attachment. But in all three stages, you're working with the same physical item. Right? I work with it simply because I like it, I'm materially contaminated. I work with it because that's where my like is, but that like, what actually I'm attached to is Krishna. But I see it in this form, and I'm an illusion that the form is actually what's giving to it. But actually it's Krishna. That gives you liberation. And working with it means this may be what I'm attracted to and attached to, but I'm using it simply to please Krishna. That gives you the devotion. You know what I'm saying? So you can be working with any combination of that. So ideally it's just to please Krishna. Right? But the other stages then means if you're just working on own, that will bind you. But then it's a matter of what level. Okay, the result of it I'm giving, the whole process I'm giving, just slowly, slowly you bring it more and more close. Right? Does that make sense? So being able to see that, to work with that, that's actual truth. That's reality. Everything else is illusion. No matter who it is saying it or how strongly they say it, it's still illusion. This is very straightforward, what it is. It's very accommodating, right? You notice, as soon as we're saying this, it's all nonsense, all this, the form, things like that. But as soon as you say, but I'm attached to this, so how do I engage it? Then immediately, yes, that's what you do. So it's very broad-minded. You understand? The point is the mentality, you know, it's not actually this, but I'm working with it. But that's the difficulty. No, it's like, okay, it's all spiritual or it's all material, but this thing of the transforming between the two, that's the difficulty. Because then I'm not supposed to like it, but I still work with it anyway because I like it. So there's all these contradictions going on at once. People aren't comfortable. It's got to be, oh, yes, I'm totally into it, that's why I do it. Or, yeah, it's gung-ho, rah-ha-ra for Krishna, and, you know, none of this nonsense, you know, like that. But what about what's in between? Remember, only two people are happy in this world, the fool and the Paramahamsa. So most people are in between. So that's why all this in-between stuff is said. Right? The fool, don't even bother. He's not going to listen to it. The Paramahamsa, you don't have to get so much technical description because they already understand it. A little bit of discussion, they understand it. So why is the bulk of discussion there? It's for those who are not fools and not Paramahamsas. Right? So therefore, it's the thing. You have to deal with both at once. Right? Yeah. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Mm-hmm.